What sort of religion would they have developed if they had been able to see the sky? 3 hours later, she left the ship a few miles from Kung Line Top. The satellite was decorated in Kung style. Grey and brown-purple predominated, with startling touches of heart-attack red. There was no immigration control. Kung welcomed smugglers. Smugglers were rich. Her suit's jets wafted her gently into one of the airlocks, which cycled automatically. Line Top. The space would end the monomolecular wire that linked every civilized world with the greater galaxy. The gateway to the stars, where robots jostled with ten-eyed aliens, spies moved circumspectly, golden-bearded traders of strange and subtle wares sold curious powders that made men go mad and talk to God, and crippled boys busked strange electronic instruments that plucked emotions. Line Top. A hefty kick and you had escape velocity. Line Top. Threshold of the universe. Anyway, that was the idea. But this was reality, and Kung was in a poor time for the tourist trade. The Kung that loped through the tethered satellite's corridors were admittedly colourful but familiar. There was a unipodal Eft operating a sweeping machine in one corridor. If it was a spy for the Galactic Federation, it was a master of disguise. The big board on the main concourse said there was an hour to wait until the next downward shuttle. Kin found a bar with a window overlooking the shuttle hall. The bar was called the Broken Drum. "Why?" she asked the Kung behind the bar. Saucer-eyed, he fixed her with the bland stare of barman everywhere.
"You can't beat it," he said. "Your wish?"
I thought Kung had no sense of humour.
"That is so."
The Bar Kung looked at her carefully.
"From Earth?"
he asked. "Yes," said Kin.
"Which one? I've got a brother uncle on real
The genuine one," said Kin sharply. He looked at her thoughtfully again, then reached under the counter and pulled out a filmy cassette that Kin recognised with a sinking heart.
"I thought the face was familiar," said the Bar Kung triumphantly. "Soon as you walked in, I thought, very familiar face. Of course, it's a bad hollow on the filmy, but still, ha! Do you think you could do a voice print on it, Miss Arad?"
He grinned horribly. She smiled valiantly and took the tape translation of Continuous Creation from his damp, four-fingered hands. "Of course, it's not for you, I understand. It's for your nephew Sam," she murmured cruelly. The Kung looked startled.
"I have no nephew Sam," he said, "although I had intended it for my son, brother Bert Kultk. How did you know?"
"Magic," sighed Kin. She took her drink to the big window and idly watched tugs shunting cargo shuttles across the marshalling wires, while behind her she half heard the Bar Kung talking excitedly to someone on the intercom. Then a someone was standing by her chair. She looked round and then up. A Kung was standing beside her. "Look at the Kung. 7 feet tall and then topped off with a red coxcomb that was made of something like hair. Two saucer eyes filled the face, and they were now two-thirds closed against the lights that had been turned up by the Bar Kung out of deference to Kin. The body was skeletal, with bodybuilder's muscles strung like beads on a wire, and a bulge between the shoulder blades for the third lung. The ship suit it wore was a masterpiece of tailoring. It had to be. The Kung had four arms. It grinned. A Kung grin was a red crescent with harp strings of mucus.
"My name is Marco Farfara," he said, "and if it will help you to cease staring, I am a naturalized human being. You only think you're seeing a Kung. Don't let a mere unfortunate accident of birth confuse you."
"My apologies," said Kin. "It was the second pair of arms."
"Quite so."
He bent lower. and said, in the voice